Welcome to The Brain Factor, hosted by myself, Joy Riddle, and Laura Hawley. We're a part of Meridian Behavioral Healthcare, where we believe that wellness is within everyone's reach. This podcast is a conversation about what research-based protective factors look like in real life. Our hope is that you'll walk away with something that you can use in your own life and have had some fun with us along the way. So let's get started.
Hi, and welcome to The Brain Factor, a brand new podcast where we're going to talk about different ways in which we can protect ourselves from possibly developing mental health issues or substance misuse issues. My name is Laura Hawley, and I am the Director of Prevention at Meridian Behavioral Healthcare. My friend Joy, who also works at Meridian, she's going to tell you about herself here in a second. We got together and decided, based on all of our coffee conversations that we've had around the office and talking about things, especially during the pandemic, that this was valuable information, and we thought that you would want to hear about it. So Joy, let them know about you and your background and a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. I'm Joy Riddle, and I'm a Senior Vice President here at Meridian Behavioral Healthcare. We specialize in the treatment of mental illnesses and substance use disorders. And I've been involved with mental health in one way or another most of my adult life. And it's just been such a passion for me due to a number of different things that happened throughout my life and my history that we'll probably delve into in different episodes. But
oh, yeah, we're going to pull back all the curtains.
Oh, yeah, we're going to pull it all back, show everything.
Yeah, no, and I think that just diving right in, like that's a big thing, right? So this has touched all of us. I don't think there's a person that I know or a person watching or listening that hasn't, their lives haven't been touched by either mental health or substance misuse in some way, whether it's themselves or somebody that they care about. And, you know, living through a global pandemic, I mean, the numbers don't lie, right? So those instances are growing. And I think it's just really relevant. It's relevant more than ever to talk about not just what puts us at risk, but what do we do about it?
Yeah, what do we do about it? And how do we continue to get back up and keep doing it?
Gosh, that's the million-dollar question, because I think that's where resilience comes into play, right? And that's this word that, like, everybody knows and we all throw it around, but, you know, what is it? And that's part of what I want to unpack in this podcast, too. You know, through some special guests and through just us talking and sharing what we know. I've worked in prevention in some way or another for the better part of 20 years. And one of the ideas that, you know, we really got passionate about when we were talking, that sparked this podcast was the idea of risk and protective factors as a science.
Yes.
Because that's eye-opening. You know, we all, I think like, oh, well, this is going to be a risk factor. Yeah. This is going to protect me. And, you know, you see that a lot in kids where you're like, oh, like, they should have extracurriculars because that's going to be protective, right? But like, is it in terms of the science? Yeah. And when we can drill it down to what is the actual thing that's going to have the impact, and we can put our focus and work on those things, I think that's life-changing.
It really is. It is life-changing. It was life-changing for me when it was going on, and I didn't even know about the protective factors or how to be resilient at that point. But I know in my mind, I always thought, okay, what makes you resilient? What is resilient? How do you get to be successful? Well, you get to be successful because every time you get knocked down, you get up again. You get knocked down, you get up again. And my kids, as they were growing up, I always told them that. What's the difference between being successful and not being successful? How many times you get up again, Mom? You know, but they're both grown and very successful. So you know, happy about that.
Yeah, but, I think that one of the things is, I know prior to me like learning the science behind it, I always just thought that it was like a natural God-given thing.
Like just some people are just good at stuff.
Some people, exactly. Like a sport. Like, you know, some people just know what to do when you hand them a basketball, right? But like, you know, what about that person who, you know, the sky is always falling, right? Yeah. You know, some people can get back up again, and they just need to be reminded to get back up. And for some people, it's just does not come as naturally. And the realization that if you know what parts to work on, absolutely anybody can be resilient, that it's a teachable and a learnable skill set,
which is so exciting. I mean, you can't beat that.
And it's really just like the sports analogy, right? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I may not know what to do with a basketball, but you give me the right coach and the right activities and mm-hmm. the right drills, and I practice enough, I'm going to be a star, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think you can be a star at resilience as well. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece is how, you know, some of these risk factors, some things that put us at risk for mental health disorders or struggles or substance misuse, we can't change some of them. Like I can't change the fact that I have a family history of mental health struggles, right?
Yep, nope.
Can't change that. You know, there's some risk factors you can change, but by and large, you're kind of stuck with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And that gets to feel defeating until you look at the other side of it, which is, you know, predominantly, I know what we want to unpack is that can cease to matter with mm-hmm. enough protective factors, right?
Yeah, so definitely. I remember early on in my life and being younger and just kind of like going with the flow all the time and not knowing that, I don't know, that I could take control of that or how to do it. It was like, oh, look at what this life is doing to me.
Yes, it's all happening
it's
to
like
me.
It's like it was happening to me and I was just kind of going along with it mm-hmm. and not being as, you know, successful or not being what I wanted to be in life until I one day just said, okay, I'm going to figure this out and this is what's going to happen. And that's, you know, where all of this that we're going to unpack comes into play and you just
and
turn things around.
If you didn't have to do that by trial and error.
Yeah, yeah. It would be so far, much further ahead. Maybe I'd be on Shark Tank right now.
No, I love it. I love it. And yeah, and I think that that's particularly for young people or parents of young mm-hmm. people. Like, and it's not exclusive to that population, this knowledge. But I know I love that you said like early in your life and looking at like how many times did I have to get back up and how mm-hmm. many times did I maybe not have to fall down in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. I think there's a lot of freedom in that. There's a lot of freedom in doing things with intent mm-hmm. And knowing that. And for me, like, you know, I had early on when I was learning about protective and risk factors and we had done this I was in a classroom somewhere. We did an exercise where we had to come up with them right before we really unpacked the science and the studies and the research. And half of what I came up with, you know, with my all of my experience that I had already had, wasn't on the list mm-hmm. because it's just what like felt good to me. Like, mm-hmm. oh, well this is going to be good and this helps people. Right. But then when someone goes, well, why? I don't know. It just feels good. Right. Mm-hmm. So knowing like the difference between what we think should be a protective factor, what actually is. And there's so many of them.
Oh my goodness, there are. There's mm-hmm. so many of them.
mm-hmm. So like some of the ones that I know that we already talked about that we definitely want to cover is we're going to talk about like optimism, but that one will surprise you because it's not
what it's not cracked up to be.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not your mama's optimism, right?
Not true.
And then I know we're going to talk about it's a bad word, but like exercise.
Yeah, movements
and, you know, but like realistic stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're also going to talk about stress a lot, probably more than once.
Stress management and stress and what that can do. And
absolutely. Yeah. So like, mm-hmm. So some of the larger categories of where these things fall is, you know, connection to other people and connection to things larger than ourselves, whether it's community or mm-hmm. Belief systems or, you know, so that's an actual protective factor. Communication and knowing how to do that. Everything from self-advocating mm-hmm. to just being able to have boundaries, right? Communicate those and articulate the way that you think and feel. Emotional regulation, stress management, all of that stuff. Self-awareness. Sometimes it's not even change. It's just knowing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, knowing what you're capable of, what you're strong in, mm-hmm. what you're not, what you have to practice at.
Right, where your limits are sometimes. Yeah. Knowing that, you know, mm-hmm. And then the other one is knowing what your strengths are, right? So mental agility, I think that's often mm-hmm. overlooked.
Yeah.
The ability to sort of stick and move, mm-hmm. right? And we've had to do a lot of that.
especially this past year.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some ways that your life changed? I know you're like a big travel aficionado, right?
I am a big traveler.
Yeah. So what happened to you in the past 18 months? Like where did you get knocked down?
I got knocked down. Well, first from the thing that my husband and I love the most, which is travel and traveling the world and being immersed in different cultures and meeting different mm-hmm. people. That was really a knockdown. Because all of a sudden, we actually, March 10th, I got off of a plane. We just got back from Eastern Europe, and everything just shut down.
Yeah.
Just shut down. And one of the things, you know, we like to be with the cultures and the travel and all of that, but the one thing that happens is we both have really demanding careers, and we're very busy. We're, you know, I'm involved in volunteer work on top of my demanding career and all these other things and fitting in going to the gym. Well, when we go on those trips, that's when we unplug.
Oh, you know, that's that when was we taken away from you.
Spend like the quality time, just mm-hmm. he and I, and reconnect and experience and enjoy things together without all this outside distraction that mm-hmm. comes in. So we lost our de-stressor.
Yeah.
So that was our stress management. And we didn't just go one time a year. We'd go several times a year because that's what we've decided our future looks like is mm-hmm. traveling. So now we've lost our ability to de-stress and in a lot of different ways, you know, and then the shutdown got really scary and you're working or you're not working. There's all these different things going on, but that I would say that was the primary factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it was interesting for me, my stress and my where I got knocked down didn't happen right away. Like in one sense it did, but I'm typically very introverted. And so having to stay home or not do stuff or having things closed temporarily, that was
fun
okay.
for me.
Yeah.
It was okay. Like, I don't have to go.
I happen to really like my husband and my kids. It was okay. Right. So it was fine at first. Nobody had the luxury of prepping for the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So my daughter, and you know this already, but my daughter was diagnosed with intensive OCD. Like it was pretty severe. And it got severe because she didn't get treated for it mm-hmm. for a long time because we didn't know that's what we were dealing with. And when she finally got diagnosed and got treated and got better, she went through a long intensive outpatient program and she finished it in like February of 2020. Yeah. And then like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks later, the whole world shut down. And she, you know, she said, "Mom, I'm really confused. Like I worked really hard at trying to do things like touch doorknobs mm-hmm. and now I can't touch doorknobs. Like this is confusing." And so as a mom, that's where I got knocked down because, you know, we want to protect our kids and we want to fix things when they're broken and we want to have the answers. And I didn't have
answers. Didn't have any answers.
No answers.
Nothing.
You know, and here I was afraid of some of the same things that she was afraid of, but I didn't know to what extent allowing her to be afraid was going to damage her mental health and put us back sort of where we were and where mm-hmm. as a family we had fought so hard to come out from. And I think that that's not an uncommon story. I mean, you know, ours is specific to OCD and specific to my kid, but you know, when you look at prevalence of mental health issues, right? Yeah. It's like, what is it, like 18% of the population mm-hmm. at any given time is walking around struggling in some way with mental health. And you know, that 18.1% was there when the world shut down too.
Yeah.
And so I think that impacted people who were already struggling in their loved ones in really significant ways.
Yeah.
And I think for a long time, we didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of advice. Did you get a lot of advice?
There was a lot of advice.
I got you should do this.
You should do that.
Right. So yeah, I've always said that should is a bad word. Right?
Yeah. You either want to do something or you need to do something, but you don't need to should.
Yeah. So I say when you hear yourself say should or somebody else, like stop shooting on yourself.
Yes,
don't
that's
say that.
Great. I
and
love
do
that.
Do not shit on other people.
Don't shit on other people. Definitely. So, that's fantastic.
And I always have that in the back of my head. So, you know, cause I say it, we all say it. So I hear it come up, I'm always like, oh, I did that again, you know? And so you just kind of go back and you change that. But yeah, in the beginning, especially in the pandemic, it was like, and it's one of the topics that we're going to uncover, this just like intense mm-hmm. pressure to be productive.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it was really rough. And by the way, this isn't going to be an about the pandemic series. It just happens to be this one.
Just really relevant.
But
right
I remember at times, you know, so I'm in healthcare, so I'm coming to work. Everybody else is shut down. They're not. Even my team at work doesn't need to be here, is home. And at the time, my husband had an illness that we didn't or thought it was an illness. We didn't know what it was. It'd been undiagnosed for years, been through all kinds of, all types of highly regarded hospitals, and they couldn't ever figure out anything. So he's always had to stay away from this, stay away from that. We don't know. So I have to protect him.
Sure.
So now he's staying home, and I have to go to work. And in the beginning, I don't know if is it aerosol? Is it what?
Sure.
How are you getting
it?
Is
it cleaning
just
my mail
floating around us? I'm spraying mail with Lysol. And there were times where I'd pull in the driveway at night and I would just sit there and think, I just want to stay in my car. I don't even want to go in because I had this whole system put in place to keep everybody safe. I did all these things in the morning. I did all these things while I was out. Mm-hmm. And then when I got home at night, I go in the garage. I get undressed in the garage, leave all my clothes out there, make a beeline to the shower. And I was just so over
it. Exhausting.
It was exhausting. It was stressful. I was in tears. You know, it was like, oh, if I have to do this one more time.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because we talk about, in the beginning and as though we're not in that place anymore. And while we're not, we're in a new place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's indicative of life too, though, right? So there's always an added layer of something. And right now that's the added layer. But now the added layer looks like, we've gone back to work, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm working with one company right now who is transitioning their workforce back into the office.
Yeah.
And that's coming with some struggles from a mental health standpoint because it's, you know, they've gotten very used to now the routine of remote working and what that looks like.
They found out they liked it
a lot. You know, or at least even if they did in the beginning, that's now the routine. We're not talking about like a crisis response anymore. Now it's been 18 months and now their lives are changing again, right? Yeah. And the expectations are changing again. And now we're in an interesting time where, you know, in the beginning, for the most part, everybody was like, okay, you know, we're all sort of experiencing the same thing. Now we're experiencing different things.
Yeah.
Right now, some folks are vaccinated, some folks aren't. Everybody feels differently about that. Everybody has a different experience in terms of how COVID has touched their lives, whether they've had it or not had it, or lost someone, or people they love have had it, or no one they know has had it, whatever, right? So our experiences, or whether they were an essential worker or their work shut down, like now we're all coming to the table with very different experiences, which does add another layer that can cause stress and anxiety and depression and sort of leave that door open to put us at risk. And those are the kinds of things that largely we're stuck with, right? And that's why I think knowing protective factors helps us through this and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just, like you said, it's not just the pandemic. It's, okay, what happens after you have kids, right? Your whole life changes.
Everything.
What happens when you get married? What happens when you get divorced? What happens when you move or you change jobs, right? It's the backdrop of your normal everyday life. Mm-hmm. And all of those things come with stressors that can change the way things look for us.
Yeah.
And knowing where to focus our energy and what areas we can beef up, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
In order to be more resilient to the ways those things can knock us down.
Yeah.
I think is really valuable.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the science behind it is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's truly wonderful science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, wow, it was so great talking about this today. And I'm glad that we're able to share this with all of you now, too. These are the regular conversations that Laura and I have all the time at lunch or sitting in my office. And again, that's kind of why we started this, because it's such important information that we want to get, you know, to everybody and we're going to unpack those protective factors and hope that you are able to help your own mental health with maybe some of the things that we talk about on this podcast.
So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to The Brain Factor. Joy and I are so thrilled to be having these needed conversations. We'd love to hear your feedback on this episode, so if you could drop a comment or leave a review with your thoughts or any requests that you may have, it would be appreciated. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. Living a healthier and happier life starts with one step, and we're excited to be on this journey with you. Until next time.